Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Broadcasting Network Authors Corner Special Edition, September 11th. And I am just absolutely just honored about this opportunity to get to speak to these two amazing people. I mean, speaking of, again, this being the bicentennial of our national anthem, and thinking about specifically enough the fact of bicentennial September 11th and the author that I had on the show, and to get them together today is just phenomenal. So I'm so excited first to welcome the program author Peter Alderman, author of The Rocket's Red Glare. Peter, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm doing well, Neil. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And we talked on off air, and I said, can we make this happen? And Peter has been able to make it happen, so I'm so excited to welcome also to the program multi-platinum selling country music star Jody Messina. Jody, how are you?
I'm doing good. I think you have, like, the very unique, the only interview of me and Mr. Alderman together.
Yes, hey, you see, that's what I do. I have lots of
you
very.
You just heard it here, everybody.
Yeah, you just heard it here. But just think about also September 11th. What an amazing thing to have you guys both on the program, especially when we're talking about our national anthem and talking about certain things. So the first question I would say, Jody, how did you first of all get involved in this project? Tell us the story.
Well, a little behind-the-scenes notes here. Mr. Alderman was my neighbor growing up, and his boys moved to Nashville shortly after I did. They worked with me in my music career, and then Mr. and Mrs. Alderman moved down, and Mr. Alderman decided he wanted to write this book, and he told me about it. And I had said, anything I can do to help, you know, just let me know. And he's like, well, do you think you could do the audio for it, or maybe do the national anthem or a song or two? And so, yeah, I mean, talking about a man who pretty much raised me as a kid. And also, he understands, you know, I perform the national anthem a lot, and I have such a regard for the song itself and its history. And he, being a history major, has that same kind of love. So it's something that we both embarked on out of really a love for this country and the anthem itself.
Most definitely. And again, we're talking to Jody Messina and Peter Alderman. Peter is the author of The Rocket's Red Glare, and Jody Messina is singing the anthem and another song on the CD part of the book. So you guys got to definitely go pick it up. But and you're on Author's Corner of the Total Celebrity Show. Now, Peter, was that the first person you thought of when you said, I need to get someone to sing the song? Was that the first person you had thought in mind was
absolutely.
Jody?
Absolutely. It actually was the only person I wanted to have involved in the project for a multitude of reasons. You know, she's just an incredible person, very caring and giving, and she does love the country and is, you know, performed for the troops, and she's just been a great friend over the years. And, you know, our whole family, we just love her. She wouldn't take a dime for this project. She wouldn't take.
Oh, wow.
I went over to the house the other day and gave her 9 cents. And
not quite a time.
Hopefully that would compensate for it. But she really is an amazing person, and like I said, or like Jody said, she grew up next door, and I know how she is as a person, how giving she is and how caring, and she is full of energy. I've never met anybody like her, and she also can sing the anthem, and my boys will attest to that. She has the best voice in country music. They're both involved in the country music business now.
Well,
that's lady.
That's so fantastic. And Jody, I think this is special to talk to me and Peter on September 11th. Wouldn't you agree? Especially we want to bring the focus of the people who died that day, and also thinking about the flag and our national anthem, and a perfect day to talk about this, in my opinion.
It is kind of weird that we have the interview on this day, or should I say a perfect lineup of the stars. You know, you remember on September 11th when, you know, they hoisted that flag up there in the middle, in the midst of the rubble when they were searching for folks. And, You know, it's a lot of people. It's a symbol, but to a lot of people, it's more than just a symbol. There are, you know, men and women out there right now that are risking their lives on a daily basis so that, you know, that flag and everything it stands for is protected, and it's people, you know. So it is very fortunate that you all those things kind of lined up.
And I wasn't even planning on it. It's like, oh, are you available this date? And I'm like, oh, that, now it's, and especially, Peter, think about it, the bicentennial of the Star Spangled Banner, and also September 11th. This was perfect for you, Peter, wasn't it? Especially to get the opportunity to have the only interview with both of you guys on the together. So I think it's so cool.
Yeah, well, the backdrop of 9/11 to the bicentennial is just it's a very sad and dark day today, because I just, you know, I reflect upon all the people, as Jody
yes.
said, who died, and all if you think about it, you know, the Star Spangled Banner is reflective of honoring the men and women of our armed forces. But I got to tell you, it also includes all the first responders at 9/11, at the Twin Towers, the firemen and the paramedics and so on. It just we've got a great country. We have
yes.
just an incredibly great country. And every day I think about it, and I mean that literally. I really do think about how wonderful our country is and how we can go and interact with people on the street and talk and go shopping and travel from state to state. And Jody, how you can go and sing to all these crowds, and you've got a diverse group of people that you're singing to from all different backgrounds, all different religions and socioeconomic backgrounds. It's an amazing country, and I know that Jody and I and you are not the only ones who value it. It's an incredible place to live.
Well, it definitely is, and we're talking again to Jody Messina and also Peter Alderman about the rocket's red glare. And Jody is featured on the CD with the Star Spangled Banner, and it's fantastic. And Jody, what do you think so far of the book that Peter wrote and everything, the coffee table book? What do you think of it?
Well, I also did the audio for the book, so I know the book inside and out. I read it several times doing the audio for the book, and I think it's, you know, it's a different perspective. I love how he starts the book saying, you know, we sing this at the beginning of sporting events. It isn't just a, hey, we're going to start off an event song. You know, there's a huge history behind it, and it's funny because I had two things I wanted to address. First of all was the September 11th issue, which I had done a post this morning, and I said, this is dedicated to anyone affected by September 11th. And immediately someone's response was, well, that would be all of us, wouldn't it? Which is so true. And then another thing is about the sporting events and the song and the this and that. People, if you read the book, you'll find, I'm going to give away the ending. if you read the book, you'll find that the anthem was actually written before the melody was put to it, and the melody was taken from an English pub song. And I, of course, knew all of this heading into the Kentucky Derby this year, where I sang the anthem, and then someone posted on Facebook, don't you know it's an up-tempo song? And I said, yes, most pub songs are, you know? And so it gives you a totally different look at the song, but also the way, where Francis Scott Key was when he wrote this, what he was looking at, why he wrote this, the emotions and the feelings behind it. I mean, as a musician and a songwriter, it's, you know, and he was just a poet. He didn't write this as a song. He wrote it as a poem. So, but to be a songwriter and to have this whole different look at this song that we sing at the beginning of all these events, it was blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, this guy was in angst. He was out at sea, forced to watch his
yes.
homeland be bombed, you know? So it just really gives you perspective on all of it. And it's written in a way that kids can understand it and learn and have that appreciation for the anthem.
We're talking to author Peter Alderman and also Jody Messina, multi-platinum country music star who I didn't even know that sung the CD, but also read the audio of the book as well. So have you ever been do voiceovers before, Jody? Is that new to you, like, in that
this
way?
This is it. I've done it for cartoon characters here and there, but never read a book.
You did a great job, Jody.
Well, I mean,
it's really intimidating, too, when you're, like, put it on tape, because, you know, you read in your mind, and you know, to actually speak at your Trip and Over Words, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to go redo that page.
Yeah, I can't stand listening to myself all the time because I would say, oh, I said this or that, and I can imagine having to do voiceovers. Whenever I have to do like a one-minute little piece or something, I'm like, okay, let's do it again, and it is for sure. But now, Peter, thinking about this the success you talked about, you tell us specifically, when we were on a couple months ago, the book just launched. Where is it going now? And tell us some updates for our listeners out there, and especially the people who have not purchased the book yet.
Well, I had a book signing in Franklin where I live, and it sold two cases of books in an hour and a half. I mean, just signing, and people were, I mean, I was just totally surprised. They wanted to have the picture with me and everything, and I'm just myself, as Jody knows. I'm just happy just doing my simplistic type of things in my life and hanging with my wife and the dog and the kids and the grandkids and so on. But actually, I'm going to be going to Baltimore this weekend for a book signing at the Inner Harbor at Barnes & Noble. And so I'm very, very honored to be a part of this experience, the 200th anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner.
Now, I could be wrong, but I believe Scholastic has picked up the book. Of course, Barnes & Noble has picked up the book. You asked where the book had gone. Mr. Alderman is trying to get introduced in a few of the local school systems down here to really get to give people an understanding and almost reintroduce them to this country and its history and the anthem and, you know, how fortunate we are to live here.
Definitely, Jody. And what's interesting is when I was talking to him, he was so knowledgeable, isn't he, about this? His historical background and understanding things, he explains things so well. I mean,
I grew up with that. He was a teacher growing up, so he always put things in a way that was easy to understand as a child and even as a grown child now.
I had to do that for my benefit, though, because I could confuse people. So anything that's obscured with a lot of verbiage, I don't seem to absorb. So I always try to do the most simplistic form of information.
Did you always?
But it's true, though, and it's beneficial, and it's shown beneficial in this, you know, with the whole book, because, you know, you're able to bring it into school systems and to learning facilities, and it's appropriate, you know, it's adequate, it's what, you know, gets the point across.
Thank you, Jody.
Exactly. Now, Peter, did you always know that Jody would be a star? Because when did you first know her? How old was she?
I'll tell you a quick story. We moved to this area, this town, Holliston, Massachusetts, which is a great, great New England town. And we had this old house that we were fixing up. And so Pam, my wife and I, and we had the kids at that time, and we had a dog named Jody. And so we didn't know anybody in the neighborhood. So I yelled out for my dog, Jody, Jody. And this cute little girl comes running up in the backyard, and there she was, Jody Messina. And then she... But she would sing, and she would put on shows in her backyard when she was little, plays and things like that. And my youngest son, he'd be the baby. He'd be Jason.
God love him.
Stuck in, yeah.
The poor kid. He's married and has kids of his own, and I used to stick him in a box and make him play the baby in, like, Rapunzel or something, you know?
Yeah, it was great. But later on, we had concerts in our backyard, and each of my sons had a band. And then Jody would be the headliner, and everybody in the, you know, the neighborhood in town, they could come, and we had cookouts, and we're playing basketball and volleyball and badminton and so on, and the other bands were going on. As soon as Jody went to sing, everything stopped. I mean, nobody said, "Oh, Jody Messina's going to sing." You know, as soon as she sang, everybody put the basketball downs and the badminton equipment, and they all went and sat in front. And she just captivated. So, yes, as soon as she started singing, you just knew this girl was special.
Definitely. She's definitely special with her success and everything, and honored to have her on the show. Now, being the 200th anniversary, Jody, that's got to be special for you as well, because now you're part of this in history, and Peter decided to do this now, and you said with Scholastic getting involved in this, you're really getting involved in history, and your patriotism is so huge. I'm sure she's so glad that the schools are picking this up, Scholastic's picking this up. What a great opportunity for you to be part of history in certain ways as well, because you sung the national anthem on this and also read this so in the audio. So I think that's great for you.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize that until you put it that way. So now that you put it that way, I feel massive amounts of pressure.
because I mean, this
is... I was feeling good about it until now. Thank you, sir.
Well, on you, Jody.
Oh, boy.
But think about this. I mean, because, again, your patriotism, but then also the education portion of this. Are... Children need to know how important our country is, how we are so lucky to live in this country, especially when you see what's happening in the Middle East. You see what's happening everywhere else, Peter, and I'll put this question to you as a historian. And to feel that patriotism inside and want everyone else to feel that as well. And that's why, one of the reasons why you wrote the book, right, Peter?
Well, I really was hoping that... Francis Scott, by reading it, it would evoke the same kind of inspiration and patriotism that Francis Scott Key felt that night, just wondering if the flag would still be there. And it's not only for kids, but for adults as well, because a lot of people say, Peter, this veteran came up to me and said, Peter, I read your book. I bought it, and I read your book, and I realize it's just not for kids, because it is loaded with some key information about the national anthem. And so my hope was to target a large span of audience, not just kids, but adults as well. So the value of this, the anthem, and Francis Scott Key's emotion would be extended throughout life and for everybody, because we're lucky to be living in the United States of America. We're just lucky.
And I think children, too, who this is written for as well, who they can understand it and comprehend it, they're not aware of the news. They don't know what's going on, you know, in other countries, and they don't know what's going on outside. Really, they're fenced-in area. So it also brings that enlightenment into the children as well. Like, hey, you know what? Right now, you got a swing set in your backyard, but the backyard used to be a battleground, you know, it just kind of brings that in, as opposed to we as adults are aware of what's going on in the rest of the world. But sometimes as a child growing up in this, you don't realize how lucky we are, and that kind of brings a different light to the book when you're reading it to your children.
Absolutely, and we're talking into author Peter Alderman, of the author of The Rocket's Red Glare, and also multi-platinum selling country music star Jody Messina, and she's featured on the CD singing the Star Spangled Banner and also reading the book. So getting the audio of the book with Jody, that's worth its price in gold right there. But guess what, Jody? I have to put you on the spot now. Peter said when he got on the call, and I didn't know really your relationship till now, but he says, are you going to get Jody to sing the national anthem for us on the radio? That's what he said. So I'm not the one requesting this. Peter's requesting this.
I said that in a... frivolous kind of way.
Oh, really? Because you live right down the street from me, mister. I'll be over there with eggs in a minute. I got my dozen eggs. I'm coming over your house.
Oh, yeah. I'll see a book burning in my front lawn.
No, can't do that.
I got to tell you, talking about singing, though, Jody also sings America the Beautiful, and she also sings one of her songs that she wrote that is incredible. Heaven Was Needing a Hero. Am I saying that right, Jody?
Yeah, that's the other song on the CD.
It is so beautiful, and it's totally dedicated to the men and women of our armed forces. And if any of the listeners want to check it out on Google or whatever, Heaven Was Needing a Hero, there's all sorts of images relating to that. And, Jody, you sang that song at several events honoring those ones.
Yeah, Heaven Was Needing Hero was a song that I wrote when the first woman soldier was lost over in Iraq. It's actually, the video is posted on my Facebook page today. That was the dedication that I did, was with that song. And so, I've done it for, I've gone to Washington, D.C. and performed it for the fallen public service police fire department. Each year they have a gathering for the families, and I was asked to perform it there one year. And we've done it for a lot of, like, local people in the local chapter, as far as police departments and things like that. You know, we'll go into a city that's had a fallen hero or the chief of police or whatever, and they ask us to perform that as a tribute to them. So it's taken out a lot, but a lot of times it's used. But mainly I wrote that song because I was trying to deal with the loss of, you know, they had interviewed, I don't know, one of the big news outlets went to the memorial of this soldier, and they said, well, what do you think about your sister? What do you have to say about your sister? And the guy was, like, totally taken aback, because that's not his way of life, to have cameras in his face, you know? And he's like, I really don't know what to say, except my sister will always be a hero to me. And that haunted me. And so that's how I ended up writing the song, Heaven Was Needing a Hero. And so it's part of the CD.
Oh, wow.
It's so beautiful.
So are we going to get a chance to hear you sing it all today, Jody, or not?
You got a CD player?
No. Oh, wow.
You can hear me read, too.
Yeah, let's hear you read on the CD. No, okay. I understand. I understand. I was trying to put you on the spot, but I know you're traveling very soon, so we do have to.
I will blast out your speakers, dude, if I actually started singing. There would be more distortion than sound.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. See, this is the thing, Jody. It sounds like that I'm talking out of a phone, but I'm not. And when you hear the sound quality, it's using a professional mixer and everything. So it would be fine. I have a mixer and all that. It would not blow it out. I had the Wiggles sing on my show, the five of them.
You know, I have a 2- and a 5-year-old. I actually know not only who the Wiggles are, but some of their songs.
So I'm going to ask you to perform the Wiggles now. No, okay, I understand. If that was Peter, don't get upset at me, but I've had Judy Tenuta perform on my show and also the Wiggles. So that's why, and other people, but those are the two you would know of for sure. So I guess we're going to kind of close this off, Peter, where we can purchase the book. And then I want to ask Jody anything she has to promote as well. So, Peter, where can we go get the book?
You can get it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble on the Internet, or go to a Barnes & Noble store. And many of the independent stores are carrying it now. It's very popular. And, Neil, before I stop, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to talk, not necessarily about my book. And, Jody, too, thank you just to honor, you know, our American heroes and also our country.
And that's why we're airing this on September 11th for one of my syndicated stations, and I'm going to tweet it out, put it on Facebook, do all I can, because I thinking of this day and where I was this day and to see where I am today, I just wish we can have peace, and we definitely need that. So, Jody, what's going on with you? What do you have going on right now that you can tell us so our listeners can check you out and stuff? What's the latest project that you want to promote?
I always just tell folks, check my Facebook. Like I said, I put a post up there this morning. I try to post something every day. I'm very active in socials as far as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all that stuff. And we're out touring. And go buy a copy of the Rocket's Red Glare and celebrate the bicentennial of the American National Anthem.
Well, you're a sweetheart, Jody. Thanks again for being on the show. And, Peter, I tell you, I'm so glad for all the success you're having. And good luck in Baltimore this weekend. And thanks again for both of you calling the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Jody.
All right.
Oh, sure. Thanks for your time.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the simulcast radio TV interview for the Neil Haley Show. I'm so excited to be part of this broadcast. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I'm so excited to welcome the program. I never had a Pittsburgh Penguin on. I get the Steelers, all these NFL, NBA players. But I want to welcome the program, Pierre LaRouche, former Penguin. Pierre, how are you?
I'm doing great, Neil. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. It's a Friday, and I get to talk to a legend like yourself. Now, Pierre, for our audience out there that did not see you play, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Certainly. I was drafted by the Penguins out of junior hockey. I played for the Sorel Blackhawks. I was drafted 8th overall in 1974. I played 4 years for the Penguins. Went to play for the Montreal Canadiens for another 4 years, winning 2 Stanley Cup there. Finished with the New York Rangers for 6 years, for a total of 14 years. Back to Pittsburgh in 95. Mario Lemieux bought the team in 99 and asked me if I could do some work for him. And I've been with him since then, and we won a cup in 2009, and hopefully we'll add some more coming up in a couple of years.
Well, absolutely, Pierre. And from that career of yours, what would you say was one of your greatest highlights playing hockey?
Well, as a kid back home in Amos, Quebec, when you play outside and skate around, you just dream of playing NHL hockey. So for me, that was the first game I played in Minnesota. It was, a dream come true. So for me, my highest, moment in NHL is my first game.
Yeah, it's the first game, but all those great career highlights. How many years did you have 50 goals? You
were 50. I scored 50 goals twice, if you don't mind me saying. I was the only center in the Montreal Canadiens history ever scored 50 goals in a season. I also have the records for 48 for the New York Rangers. And whatever I did in Pittsburgh, there was a guy named Marlon Mew that took care of all of that. So, but I was the first Penguin. I was the first Penguin to ever get 100 points. So that stayed. That's not too bad.
All right, well, awesome. So, Pierre, when you were ready to retire, how hard was it to get life after hockey? Tell us specifically when you were ready to go, if the transition, was that difficult?
Well, what happened to me is it was 10 games in the season in the 89-90. I torn the labrum in my left hip. And at the time, they didn't do that surgery, so my career was done right there. The hard part is you're so used to a certain time of the year, but September came around, you went to camp and on and on. So the problem was that during the season around 12:30 in the afternoon, I was tired and I had to go take a nap just like you used to do when you played and wake up at 4 and then go play. You miss the guys. That was the most thing. That you you're always around guys traveling, having a great time, doing what you love the most. So you miss being around the players. That was my big thing for me.
We're talking to Pierre Larouche, NHL legend, Pittsburgh Penguins and Rangers and Canadiens. And so going through that process, did you always say, I got to get involved in hockey for the rest of my life? When you life after hockey, you said you definitely wanted to be behind the scenes and involved?
Not really. After I retired, I worked for a friend of mine in New York, John Hamilton, in public relations for the insurance company. And we started doing some charity work. My wife had cancer in 1979, and we could never have kids. So what I did in New York, we started the Pierre Larouche Invitational Golf Tournament for the prevention of child abuse. We did that for 25 years, along other stuff. And, we got involved with Make-A-Wish and all that. And when I moved back to Pittsburgh in 95, my wife is from here. Like I said, Mario bought the team, and he asked me if I could do some work for him, and I said yes, and I've been with him since. It's been 15 years this year, and it's been great.
So what do you do for the Penguins?
Whatever needs to be done. I'm mostly answer to him. He's the one that, when he wants something done, he tells me. We talk about a lot of stuff. He asks me all kinds of questions. We talk about everything, and he's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. So he's like a big brother. Well, I'm like a big brother to him. He's my best friend. We really... I've seen all this family growing up in front of me, and it's been a great trip.
A great trip for sure. Winning Stanley Cup, and especially with the Penguins, and seeing the years of the down times when you played for the Penguins, how exciting was it to finally see them win a cup?
It was great. We're so lucky and privileged in Pittsburgh when you look at all the great players we had over the years. Like you got Mario, Jagr, and now we've got Crosby and Malkin. Letang, Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, the fans here have been blessed to be able to have some great teams. And it was great to watch them. They work so hard, and it's so difficult to win the cup in our days because the way the system is set up. I don't think we've seen a back-to-back team winning cup for a while now. So it's quite an accomplishment. It's very difficult. You got to play 4 7-game series, and it's very demanding.
And so, what do you think about the new team? What are your predictions for this year, especially the new coach, new general manager, and everything?
Well, hopefully they will gel quickly. I mean, that's always the danger when you bring some new people in. Most of their coach, the guys were used to Dan Bosma. They knew all his routine, the whole thing. So, in a way, it's going to be really fresh. So, the guys should be excited about that. I met him last night. Mike seems a great guy. I've known Jim Rutherford for a long time. I played against Jim. Very down-to-earth guy, really nice person. Has no, you know, no air about him as far as like I'm better than anybody else, and that's very important. So I think we're going to be fine. I think that the guys will be excited. And, I mean, we still have a great nucleus. We're going to have some new guys. We lost a few, but that's part of the, you know, the new era of hockey with the cap and all that stuff. But I think we're going to be in great shape.
What I think what's nice about having a winning tradition with the Penguins now is that they're always getting to the playoffs. They're always competing in, for every year for a cup. And not every team in the NHL has that luxury, right, to know every year they can go all the way. And that helps.
Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. Yeah. You know, again, sometimes you get that a lot, and our fans like, you know, come on, we've got to get to the final. It's difficult to get there, but again, we give them a great product every year. Our organization don't stop, you know, at nothing to make sure the products on the ice is great. Our president, David Morehouse, you know, Mr. Burkle, Mario, they make sure that they put a great product out there, and they do. So our fans are kind of like, we're going to make the playoff, we have a chance to win the cup. They're getting used to it. They think it's normal. And you take a lot of teams in this league that would love to have our team, their team, I'm sorry, just to make the playoff one year. Forget about making the playoff every year.
Exactly. We get spoiled with being the city of champions and winning all the time, especially with the Steelers and Penguins, that if we don't win the championship, we think it's a loss. But, again, there's cities that never don't make the playoffs or have a losing tradition. So it's great the Penguins have a winning tradition. Now, Pierre, are you doing still some charity work that you'd like to tell our audience about?
Yeah, about 12, 13 years ago, my sister-in-law, Kathy Howe, my wife, and myself, along with Yammer Yager, started the Mother's Hope Foundation. It's for cancer research, cancer for kids, helping the family that into their kids that wind up in the hospital with cancer. A lot of people forget that most families are not well off, and paying for money for parking and food and all that stuff is expensive. And we've been doing that. It's called Mother's Hope Foundation. If you want to look it up on the internet, it's mothershope.org. And all our money, 98 cents on the dollar, goes back to the charity. We don't we don't run something that people get paid to it's a great cause. We also give money to Bosnia for the orphanage up there that they had that war that really tore up a lot of families. And we had our first golf event this year. It went well, and it's a great cause, and I really enjoy doing it.
So you look to do a golf event every year, Pierre?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's fantastic. And anything else, just working with the Penguins, any other projects you're doing?
We're doing a lot of stuff with Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation. There's always something to do. We have a lot of great foundation in Pittsburgh. Last night I was talking to some friends about that a lot of corporations in Pittsburgh now are just concentrating themselves as far as giving money to local charity, not national charity, because we've got some great one here, and it's always great news for all the people that run, nonprofit charity in Pittsburgh. So it's difficult to raise money. So it's nice to hear that the big corporation is going to keep their money here.
I'm so glad we connected on LinkedIn. Love to have you back on again, the show, to talk about during the season how the Penguins are doing and things like that. I know we'll have to do the morning interview, and that's perfect for our TV show. So where's the best place we can find you, Pierre? Is there a place?
Just like that. Just my cell phone. Call me.
All right. What about for our fans out there? Do you have a website or anything?
Nope. Sorry. just savvy for social media. Sorry.
I gotcha. Well, I'm glad we connected, and it was great talking to you, and best of luck.
My pleasure to you. Have a great day.
All right, take care now, Pierre. Okay, bye-bye. Bye. You're listening to Neil Haley Show and watching Neil Haley Television Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, and Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I always enjoy celebrities. I guess we have a country music theme week. And I'm telling you, we already had a nice little shout out before the show. And I know we're going to have a great conversation. I want to welcome to the program award-winning country music singer, celebrity Doreen Taylor. Doreen, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and it's Monday, but always excited about the week and what will come and different things like that. So tell us specifically, Doreen, your background in country music, and then we're going to get right into some of the great charity work you're doing right now.
Sure. I don't know how far you want to go back. You know, I've been doing music for a while. I've been in the industry. They call me an overnight success, and I find that funny because I've been working for a very long time. They do that a lot with some of the artists that are out there. It's just been an overnight where people are actually knowing my name, which is, you know, very cool. But I've been in the business for a while. I have been very eclectic. I have my master's degree in opera from Temple University in Philadelphia. I have studied classical. I have crossed over to musical theater, where I was on Broadway. I played Christine in Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, wow.
But my heart, yeah, I mean, it was amazing because perhaps they weren't maybe the musical path I wanted to go down. They really taught me so much about appreciating different forms of music and taking the best parts of it and maybe leaving out the stuff I don't like, and really learning how to be on a stage, learning how to play to an audience, learning how to just adapt. I mean, there's really not much in the world now that they can throw at me that, you know, I used to sing actually years ago when I first started. I had a job singing in a Romano's Macaroni Grill. And I was a singer, and I used to sing a cappella opera songs. I would go table to table and sing, like, Puccini arias and these, like, crazy things. And while I'm in this gorgeous, you know, this amazing aria, a baby's crying, or they drop a load of dishes. So there's not much that can faze me now. I'll tell you what, I've had trial by fire, and, you know, I think I'm well entrenched now in the industry. And just kind of crossing over now where I'm writing my own music. I'm doing my own thing. I'm producing my own albums now. And that's now where I'm so happy. It's my own voice. It's my own message. I'm putting my own stamp on the industry and trying to really leave and impart something on the listeners and hopefully be timeless, not just be a flash in the pan, but actually leave something, you know, leave my mark on the industry.
We're talking to award-winning country music singer Doreen Taylor. Now, so Doreen, basically, when did you become not the overnight success? So it seems like you specifically were able to have the success learning from being an actress and all these different things, how to have that stage presence. But tell me specifically, when was it the overnight success? Tell us that story.
Very first time I realized, you know, because it wasn't like a flash, you know, turn on the light switch and one day I'm nobody and then the next day, you know, people are talking about me on TV or something. It wasn't like that. It was a gradual thing, but I think the first day I really realized that I had sort of made it was when I was sitting in a Lone Star restaurant and my song, Last Call for Alcohol, which is off of my debut album that came out 2 years ago, Magic is the name of the album. The song Last Call for Alcohol came on the radio. And I guess it's like I don't even know how it works, but I guess they pay to a service and they play certain country songs. And it was the most surreal feeling because I heard it and it took like a second to realize that's my song. And then, you know, the waiter was standing at the table and he didn't believe me. So I actually had the album in my purse. I'm like, no, look, for real. And it was very surreal. And, you know, there was another time where I turned on QVC and they play my music. Bose, the sound system, selected my music. So every time they advertise their Wave sound system, they play for my Magic album, they play. And to turn on the TV, one of the, you know, the number one, you know, TV retailer in the world, and to see my music playing, and I'm talking, saying my name, showing pictures of me, showing my album cover. It was quite amazing. It's still surreal. There are times where I don't even, you have to pinch myself because it's just like, it's very cool.
That definitely seems very cool. Again, we're talking to award-winning country music singer Doreen Taylor, and about, I guess, the overnight success, which we found out she's worked very hard to get to that overnight success, to say the least. Like every musician or actress or wherever, we get that big break for sure. And to hear your music everywhere must be phenomenal in so many ways. And you definitely have the look, as if you go to her Twitter or different places, as I was researching right now. But through that success, Doreen, you want to give back. So specifically tell us what you're doing with the national parks as an ambassador.
That really is, I think, to me, this new collaboration that I've taken on with the national parks and the National Parks Conservation Association. It's really been, I've done a lot of work. I've worked with St. Jude's. I've worked with Urban Promise a lot. When I did my tour for my Magic album and we went across and did select cities across the United States, every single show I gave back to a local charity. I decided, and I didn't give like 5%. I did 100% of the net proceeds from every single one of my shows, and I gave it to the charity because I always feel that if I play a city, I want to give back to that
yes.
same city that hosts me. And you know, a lot of new artists that are breaking out usually don't do that. They do that when they're established, or they don't do it at all. And I just believe I've been very blessed, and I have to keep paying it forward because that's what I'm here for. I always say I'm very lucky, and I've worked very hard at that luck. So when they came to me, and this was, it was a long story, and I won't bore you with it, but at the end of the day, we decided that with the big centennial coming up for the national parks in 2016, there is a big, huge movement to get kids back into the parks. If you notice, they're all on their iPhones. They're learning
yes.
about the parks on iPads. They're staying indoors. They're not healthy anymore. They're not doing what I did when I was a kid and I was with my parents driving across the country. They would pack us into a car from Buffalo, New York. We drove to Yellowstone one summer, and it was just like National Lampoon's Vacation. I have to admit, I see that movie and I watch it and I'm like, that was us. And, you know, we were about to, you know, the way they filmed it, we were about the same age, my brother and I, and, you know, my family, and we would drive across, and it was incredible. At the time, it probably sucked to be stuck in the car. You know, you're 6 years old, and you're sitting there in the back. No, it's smelly. It's hot. No, it wasn't great, but I look back, and those are memories I would not trade for anything.
Exactly.
Oh, and we would not just do the natural parks. We would also do the historical parks, so there were so many things I learned outside of a textbook, outside of a classroom,
definitely.
Where I would stand at Independence Hall in Philadelphia and see the Liberty Bell or see where the Declaration of Independence was signed. And, you know, I get goosebumps talking about it because that's really where our country started. And you're standing in the same spot as the forefathers. And you know, I really believe nowadays we almost take those beautiful treasures for granted. So when they came to me and said, you know, you're exactly what we're looking for. You are the kind of voice of a millennial generation that is slowly dying. We're not reaching them anymore. And I said, well, you know what? I have to write a song. I have to do something to get people inspired. So I sat down and just started letting those memories of my childhood come out of me. And it really, a lot of people say, was it hard to write the song? And it wasn't. It was hard because I didn't want to believe it could be so easy. You know, I was writing it. It was just flowing out of me. And I'm like, it's got to be harder than this. You know, it's got to be more intelligent or more cerebral or something. And I kept trying to come up with something more complicated. And I said, you know what? What am I fighting? I kept going back to the same hook. And I kept thinking about it and dreaming about it. And I was in the shower and I'm humming it. And I said, why am I fighting this? I'm going back to the feelings that were brought out as a child in me. And I made it about the feelings and made it about the colors. And that's where Colors of the USA was born.
That's phenomenal and awesome because you see you're growing up and seeing specifically how great parks are, the just being out there in the nature, and to see historical parts in some of these national parks. Just think of some of the most famous national parks. We just think of, which she's talked about, Vacation and stuff, and going to these places and watching National Lampoon's Vacation, and where they're traveling to these different landmarks and different things. We need to get kids out and about, not on their iPads or iPhones or doing video games or whatever different things. So coming up with that song, so there's two cool websites for sure, Doreen, you have to tell people about. And again, we're talking to Doreen Taylor on the Total Celebrity Show. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net. Now, tell us specifically where we can find the song and also learn more about you and the website to learn about you as an ambassador of the National Parks Conservation Association.
Sure. I mean, if you Google my name, you'll see, I mean, a million things come up, and especially Colors of the USA, which is the song, you'll find it right away. There are two music videos on YouTube. There's the unofficial video and then the official HD video we shot at the Santa Monica National Mountain, the park. It was amazing in California, and you have to go and see it. It's just, even if you don't appreciate what it is, you watch that video, and it's just something very... I don't know what it's a very celestial, I don't know if that's the word. It's something, I don't know, ethereal about it. And you have to go on and check it out. But colorsoftheusa.org, it has all the information about the collaboration, who I am, the song. We've done a lot of live events, you know, release parties in L.A. and in Philadelphia, and we've been all around the country. And you can spend hours on there just checking it out and the videos. And most importantly, if you download the song, 50% of every download is going directly to the NPCA,
fantastic,
which helps the national parks. And that's what I love about it. It's not just raising awareness. It's also raising funds to help protect our parks.
So the social media places for you to connect with you also, Doreen, at Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
Doreen Taylor. So easier.
Aren't you glad it is? Because you see how many of these other celebrities that, you know, their name was taken or specific had to make a change and name it. So that's great. And you have a Facebook fan page as well?
I have two. I have a personal page, which I use. I use two of them. I had an overflow, so I had to go to two pages now. But the one page I'm on the most is Doreen Taylor Music, and the second page is Doreen Taylor Fan Page. But honestly, it is me. I have tens of thousands of people and growing every single day, and it is still me. I don't hire a service. I don't have somebody sitting on there tweeting as though they're me. No, it's really me, and I respond to everyone. It might take me a little bit of time, but I actually get back to everyone, and especially if people are respecting me and they send something like a question. It's the new fan mail. It's the way that people ask questions. Yeah, I really want it to be for me. They're the ones that have supported me throughout since, you know, the overnight quote-unquote success. I can't turn my back on them, no matter what. I'm going to do it as long as possible, I swear.
Because you know that's the way to keep it relevant. And so many celebrities don't want to connect with their fans. And Doreen, I definitely have to have you back on the show to talk more about your music. I'll reach out to your publicist for sure. And it was great to have you on. And I best of luck with especially the promotion of this national parks and the song and everything like that. Again, go to DoreenTaylorMusic.com for info. And also ColorsoftheUSA.org. And also you can check out NPCA.org as well to check out all the information on Doreen Taylor. It was fantastic talking to you, and best of luck with everything.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, take care, Doreen. See you later.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Broadcasting Network. Again, you can go to TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, and Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I am into always talking to artists, especially aspiring in a way that they've had such a tremendous rise in their careers and they're seeing the next step in their career. And only 23 years old, this guy has a lot. You're going to see a lot of him. So I want to welcome the program, rapper K-Slick. K-Slick, thanks for calling. And man, I was checking out some of the research on you. You really have risen from, I guess, rags to riches in so many ways in your rap career, haven't you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, all within 1 year.
A one-year growth. So tell us specifically why you decided to become a rapper, man. What has it always been in you have a lot of certain favorites that kind of got you going in that way, especially?
Well, yeah. Basically, I always liked it. Rap was so connected to since I can remember. So, you know, when you love something that much, you're going to end up doing it. So basically... as a child, I always liked old school. Well, they weren't old school back then, but they're old school now. Like, I would listen to Ice Cube, Tupac, DMX, like, all rap like that, 50 Cent. They were all some of my favorites. So they all inspired me basically to grow up and do this as professionally as for my career. because it's just something that attracted me so much. So I decided I have to attempt it. I have to do it. I want to do something for the rest of my life that I can enjoy. So this would be it.
Well, just think about it. You're getting paid for something you love doing. That's the greatest thing in the world, to get paid to do something you love. Again, we're talking to rapper K Slick, and we're going to learn about Crime Chronicles 2 with him. But basically, you're listening to the Total Celebrity Show. Now, I guess your rise, as you said, it was a very quick rise. It's first a mixtape that really got some popularity. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that mixtape was called 21. I put that online, I think last July, so July 2013. That was basically everything in my life. I just compiled into a mixtape, all the stuff that was going on. It's just really, like, emotional, and it has some really good songs on there. So that kind of got me started, I guess, because it was so raw that people really took it, because a lot of people could relate to it. So after I put that out, I got such good reviews from it that I decided to make another one, which is my mixtape coming up, called K9 Versus the World. But as far as 21 goes, I had a lot of tracks. I had a feature with Saigon. He's now in Love and Hip Hop, New York. I did a feature on this with Joel Ortiz. It was supposed to be on the last one, 21, but it's going to be on this one just because it didn't get done in time. But yeah, 21 was probably, it was fun to record. It was just a great experience, and it helped me be more confident in being a professional rap artist now, just because I know that I have a lot of fans out there and they do like my music. I was able to tour internationally just off of that mixtape, so it was definitely a blessing.
We're talking to K Slick, and we're talking about the first mixtape, and so you said it was pretty raw. You were pretty good at going out there and promoting yourself before you had other people promoting you, right? This is where you show that, hey, you have raw talent that people really got to take a look at, because you pretty much were out there just promoting it yourself, right? Going from club to club, place to place, saying, hey, listen to this, right?
Yeah, it was all me and a few members of my team I had that make up my group. But it specifically was all me. I would do a lot of online promotion, live promotion outside of concert venues and stuff. We printed a lot of CDs. We handed them out. It's a lot more work than people see behind the scenes.
Oh, true.
Just crazy running around, but it's all worth it. And then
It's truly a lot of work and self-promotion. I see this in my radio network, you know, trying to get different syndicated stations, losing syndication stations, adding new ones, constantly on social media like crazy. And again, we're talking to rapper K Slick about his rise to stardom, for sure, and where he's made it this a profession. And now, wait, look out, especially with where he's going. Especially, he's going all over the world to bring some great things. And you're, again, listening to the Total Celebrity Show. You can go to my website, tolter.net, and you could click on and listen to the interview later. Now, K Slick, you're going into the mixtape, but then you went and said, hey, the next avenue is I've had success with this, but I got to get out there where, you know, I start to promote this, but let the place spread like wildfire. And that's your YouTube. What a YouTube rise you've had, and only shooting a few videos, and you've had such great success. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, the YouTube. Well, I wanted to do something different. Like, I noticed a lot of upcoming rappers, they didn't have the highest quality of videos, so I decided to shoot mine. I wanted to make some stories, so that led me to Crime Chronicles. I wanted to do something different. So I would do things like that, and that really got a lot of attention from fans because it's different. You know, it's like a story from beginning to end. It's not really, I'm not really focusing on the song as much as the story and the film. So it ended up being like a short film. So Crime Chronicles really got me a lot of attention, and then I would do other songs like that, but I would include like a catchy song in it, like Finally Home, where that tells a story of a female who cheats on me and stuff like that. So I could, songs like that, I could do like really in-depth videos and also a great song. And so I would shoot these videos, and those videos would always be my key videos. That would give me the most views and most attention out of all of them, because I guess the fans that I attract like that raw hip-hop that with meaning to it, opposed to the general hip-hop you hear now, where it's very generic and there's not really much meaning to it.
And so basically, K Slick, from that process and getting this out there, now you're finally achieving success. And how does that feel? That's got to feel great.
Yeah, it feels great, but there's still a long way to go. But just knowing that I'm headed in the right direction, it feels amazing. Like, there's it, to know that you're doing something right when you're doing something you love is like the best feeling ever.
Exactly. Again, we're talking to rapper K Slick on the Total Celebrity Show. And so basically the success, I was again reading some of your stuff. Now you're making some money. You're driving a better car. You're doing all these different things. People in Canada are taking notice of you, and all over the world they're taking notice of you. Now, are there certain goals and aspirations you have? Where do you see your rap career going? And then we'll talk about Crime Chronicles too.
Well, in rap career, I want to take it obviously as far as it could go to the plateau. Hopefully, just become one of the biggest rappers, especially out of Toronto, because we don't really have much Toronto rappers that, especially that rap in the style that I do, that make it big out there. So I really want to put myself on the map and just, you know, be that face for people from my area, my hood, and like who come from the same roots I do, because they have to look up to, you know, that they can make it out and make it wherever they want. Like,
being as young as you are, you have that focus, that intention. I know you can do it. And now, so tell us about Crime Chronicles 2 and how people can listen to this and the excitement, especially now with the media attention you're getting and all these things about this release. Tell us about Crime Chronicles 2.
Oh, Crime Chronicles 2, well, that's a follow-up to Crime Chronicles 1. Crime Chronicles 1 was a story, and this one, since people liked it so much, everyone who would always message me or send me emails and fan mail and stuff like that would always say that one of their favorite tracks is Crime Chronicles. So I had to do a part 2, which is a direct continuation. It's the same actor who plays my wife, and it's just basically where I left off. I don't want to say too much about the storyline. I don't want to give it away.
Oh, they got to go and check it out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But you can see it on YouTube. Just search out K Slick, Crime Chronicles 2, or you can just Google K Slick, and it'll come up right there.
So where have you been touring lately? Give us an update on that, K Slick.
Well, actually, the most recent tour I did was in Peru, and then I came back from that in December. And then I've been working on my album, or my mixtape, which is coming out very soon. I finished recording all the songs for it. We shot all the videos for every song. So it's just been a constant work to build up that. And hopefully, I want to release that, and that will hopefully it does really well, and I can use that to tour. This time I want to tour somewhere in hopefully America, because I have a lot of fans there who are requesting me to come to the area. So what I'm going to do is I'll put up a poll, and I'll see what cities like have the most demand, and I'll hopefully want to tour in those cities.
And what's interesting, I think, when you talk about especially getting the tour internationally, even more international than you are in Canada, that you have a more of a bigger following so far internationally. So the United States is definitely where your focus and attention is, because you want to be considered one of the best. And that's what you have to do, is really rock the U.S., right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I look at my iTunes sales, I see a lot of different countries. And I was surprised. I didn't. Like, you don't really think that people all over the world listen to your stuff until you actually see, like, I was selling records in Italy, Denmark, Norway, Switzerland, just places that I would never think were that big of a hip-hop follow, like, that big of a hip-hop fan base. They buy a lot of my records on iTunes there. I do sell a lot of records in the U.S. is my number one market, but other than that, I do have a lot of different countries that I never thought, like I never even thought they would buy records. I didn't even know how much they liked Canadian or American hip hop.
All right. So we definitely have to keep in touch and hear what's going on. I'll follow you on Twitter. We'll stay in touch, man. And best of luck and everything. So where can our listeners watch the YouTube video and also purchase your music? Where are the best places to go?
I would just Google K Slick. That's the simplest way to do it. K-SLICK. Anything else, YouTube, you can search K Slick, or it's youtube.com/TheRealKSlick, Twitter.com/TheRealKSlick, and Facebook.com/KSlick. None of those have dashes in that. It's all K-SLICK. You can go on DatPiff and you can hear the mixtape, download it for free. And you can go on iTunes and buy the album. Just search K Slick on iTunes or K Slick on DatPiff and you'll see it. 21.
All right, man. It was good talking to you. Best of luck with all the different things. And I hear some big news, you just tweet me out, man. You're coming on, okay? Sound good, K Slick?
All right. Thank you. I'll follow you back.
All right. Take care, man. See ya. Okay. Bye-bye.
Later, man.
All right. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.